Good morning to you. My name is Brad Wright. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Presbyterian Church. And we're starting a new series today for 3 weeks on thinking about prayer. And so I'm going to read to you from Psalm 145 and then also from Matthew chapter 6. You're welcome to follow along with me or simply listen. But hear the word of the Lord this morning. Psalm 145, beginning of verses 17 through 21. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And then from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, Jesus says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A question to consider as we start this series together is, who are you close to? Who are you close to? Now, there are some places where you don't want to be close to people. It's like when I get that middle chair on a row in an airplane, or when someone doesn't really understand the concept of personal space. I'm all for a hug, but, personal space can matter. Who are you close to? What does it mean to be close? And when you consider your relationship with God, how would you quantify what it means to be close to God? Does he want to be close to you? How would you answer that question? In the scriptures in the Old Testament, over and over and over again, God says, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." He's inviting them over and over and over again to avail themselves to the God of heaven and earth who says, "I am committing myself to you, to having a relationship with you, to being your protector and your provider, to watch over you, to make you a people defined by my promise." What do we mean by being close? It could be that you simply mean proximity. In that case, you're close to lots of people right now. Like, what does it mean to be close? Most of the time, we mean relationally when we say, are we close to someone? Are we close to God? Typically, statistically, only 20% of people have more than 10 close friends. So don't feel left out. And I know some of you, and you're some of those people who have more than 10 close friends, but most of us don't. Even the idea of being close to someone, it takes time. They say that older teenagers and young adults, on average, on a daily basis, use 10 messaging apps a day. They get communication, on average, over 300 different notifications or messages from people, and it ranges between 30 and 100 different people every single day. That doesn't mean you're close to anybody. In order to have a relationship with people, in order to be close to people, it takes intentional interactions over time, meaningful interactions over time. When you think about your relationship with God, it is the same. Meaningful interactions with the God of heaven and earth who cherishes you and loves you and watches over you over time. The next 3 weeks, we'll be talking about this idea of how we answer the question of what it means to be close to God. In a world that is so polarizing and difficult, constant challenges, you feel like if you're measuring up or where you stand with people, it can be quite stressful and anxiety-provoking. Not when it comes to God. He wants you to know, he wants you to be close with him. And he offers a way for you to do that. Prayer is a gift to us. It is a means of grace that allows us access to God whenever, with whatever we're thinking about, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. His death makes it possible. His resurrection makes it possible for us to know that any time we call out to God, He responds. And so, for 3 weeks, this week we're talking about why do we pray, thinking about kind of the heart of prayer, how do we begin to approach this. Next week, we'll look at Jesus' prayer that He gives the disciples. It's often called the Lord's Prayer. Some people call it the disciples' prayer. He gives it to them so they know how to pray. Gives us some specific things to think about when praying. Like when we pray according to the Lord's Prayer and the things that He lists, we can have a certainty we're praying according to His will. It's a gift to us. And then the third week, we'll be talking about what it means to live into prayer. What would it mean for you to be a person where someone says, do you have a close relationship with God? And you're like, yeah, I pray all the time, man. I'm talking to Him all the time, in my head, by myself, with others, whatever, to be devoted to prayer. And so for this first one, why do we pray? Why do we even bother with prayer? And when you think of prayer, what sort of images come to mind? Maybe it's clasping your hands and you're on your knees and you alone or you with other people, and it's just like takes hours and you're just so distracted the whole time. Like, what does prayer mean when we talk about prayer? What the Scriptures teach us, and Jesus models it for us here and encourages twice in this text, when you pray, we're meant to be a people who pray. It's a necessity. If you want to be close to God, you must be a person of prayer. To not pray is like saying, God, I want to get to know You, but I'm really not interested in talking to You. Lord, I want the peace that You promised, but do we really have to interact all the time? Spirit, I want Your direction in my life. But actually, what I really want is for You to give me what I'm asking for, because I know what I need more than anything. To not pray is to approach God with apathy. Last Friday was my wife's and my 27th wedding anniversary. It's weird to even say that out loud. But for 27 years, we've been figuring out how to be married and how to love each other and what it means to be in relationship with each other. And I remember in some of our premarital counseling that we did, a pastor said to me, you know, you think you know Jamie. You don't. But it's good that you love her, and you should get married. This is good. But after you've been married for a month, you're going to realize there's things about her that you didn't know. And then 1 year in, you're going to realize there's things about her you didn't know, and you're learning about her. And then I can tell you, after 27 years, I'm still trying to figure that woman out. And it's good. We're made for a relationship. The mystery of it is, the more you try to love someone else and figure them out, you discover yourself. You begin to understand who you are more. And this is not just limited to people who are married. Anybody you are close to, the more you get to know them, the more you listen to them, the more you serve and care for them, you discover more about who you are. God has made us to thrive in the context of relationship. We know it's true even in the physical realm. You know, maybe you like to run, and maybe you think you're fast. Go make some friends. They're probably faster than you. Some will be slower than you. Or when you think about relationships, if you don't have anybody you're close to, anybody you share what's going on in your life, you may begin to be deceived in thinking you're the only person who doubts that God is good. You're the only person who struggles with difficulties. You're the only person who has these certain questions. Like, I can't tell you how many times people will come to our church and maybe they're new around Grace and they're like, you know, I just don't know if, like, I feel like my questions are silly. I don't know what to say. No, we are not created for isolation. And when we isolate, the only perspective we get on our struggles, our difficulties, the things we have questions about, the only perspective we get is ourselves, and that's not enough for us. Jesus is inviting us here into relationship with Him, out of isolation, out of a place where we don't know, into a place where He says, you can know that I hear you and I respond to you, that I care for you, I have grace for you. As Jesus says here in Matthew, I have a reward for you. Jesus says here twice in our text, when you pray, not should you happen to pray, not should you find yourself in a moment where you think you might want to pray. It's inconceivable in His mind when He talks to His disciples about knowing the Father who loves them and trusts them and cares for them not to have some kind of desire for communication with Him. Jesus assumes it. If you're going to experience God's closeness, you're going to have to talk with Him. You're going to have to think about His Word. You're going to have to reflect on His goodness. When we sing together in this room, when we pray together as a people, when we worship together, this is one of the ways. It is not the only way. but it is one of the most important ways you get to experience the promises and the presence of God revealed through His people. In this moment, God in a special way is speaking and listening to us. I will say this, if you never come to church, I will not be surprised if you feel distant from God. And sometimes people will say, well, I don't have to go to church to be close to God. That's true. But there is something about us where we're meant to be with His people, singing to Him and worshiping so we can experience the closeness of God. Part of it is so that we can put ourselves in a position where people can bless us and encourage us. But here's the other side. If you're in a good place with the Lord, He actually wants you to be a means of grace to other people around you, amongst your family, in the context of fellowship. We're made to worship. This is not a guilt trip on you if you come to church once every 6 months. That's not what this is about. Stop listening to that part of it. The thing is, if you want to experience closeness to God, you draw near to Him always, especially alongside His people. It's not so much a command that Jesus is giving us to pray. It's like an obvious statement. It's like if you have a close friend and you're like, man, I am just so close to Johnny. I just don't know what's going on in his life. And your other friend says, well, when's the last time you spoke to him? It's probably been about 4 years since we've talked. No. We have to cultivate our relationship. If we want to know God, if we want to be close, we've got to cultivate it. Prayer is a means for us to do so. Tim Keller puts it this way. Prayer turns theology into experience. Prayer turns theology into experience. Prayer takes what we know about God and moves it into a space of experience. For example, you may believe that God is good, but when you're doubting Him, or when you're experiencing difficult things, or when things aren't good, where do you go? The Scriptures invite us to go to Him. Do you remember Psalm 145? This reminder to us, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth, as He is. You may believe that God can hear you, but where do you go when you feel like no one can hear you and God's not responding? You see, we're complicated beings. If we only go by what we feel as the center of what's true and real, it's not enough. We're not made for isolation. What is meant to calibrate reality for us? The Lord draws near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. The prayer takes theology and moves it into experience. If you want to experience God's closeness, you got to have a right understanding of who God is. And He is the God who says, I will be your God and you will be my people. He's the God who says, if you will call on me, according to the Scriptures, if you call on me as I am, I will draw near to you. As Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 6, if you go to your Father and you pray, you will receive your reward. We can't do that unless we pray. We need to massage the reality of who God is into our minds, and it moves to our hearts, because oftentimes our hearts are confused. Jonathan Edwards put it this way. He says, prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is of life. In other words, it is really hard to stay alive if you don't breathe air. It is really hard to be close to God if you don't talk to Him. It's why we celebrate communion every single week in the life of our church. This is something we must be driving into our souls on a regular basis as a people. We're not just taking communion by ourselves. We're taking communion with God's people, putting faith in what Jesus has done. Why? He's inviting us to dinner, to closeness. Now, one of your response to this may be, I don't know how to pray. I don't know really what that means to be a praying person. Look, you're in the right place. We're going to be thinking about this together. And some objections you might raise to that are, how do I get started? Like, what do I even say? Here's a couple things to know. Number one, can you imagine a mother who hears her child say his first word and go, that is so disappointing. That is so irrelevant. It's like when you're around parents who have a new baby and they say, did you hear that? They said mommy. And you're like, oh yeah. Sound like goobity goo, but that's fine. It was mommy to you. God calls us to call on Him according to His truth, to share with Him the wholeness of our heart. And if we will do that, He rushes to respond. David says in Psalm 119, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. The way we grow in our closeness to God, He's given us His word as a means of accomplishing that for us. And so first, don't be afraid if you don't know what to say. If you can speak at all, God's happy to hear it. And the more you do it, what happens to a child who can only say a couple words at first after a few years? They develop a language, don't they? They learn new words. They understand new concepts. And eventually they can talk so much to where you say, can you please stop talking? You're talking too much. The more you seek after God, the more you spend intentional time cultivating your understanding of who He is and your relationship with Him, guess what else grows? Your prayer language. Your ability to speak to Him as He says, for all those who call on me, I draw near. For all those who call upon me in truth. It's why in Psalm 45 is a wonderful prayer to maybe memorize. You know, if you look at Psalm 145, the Lord is righteous in all His ways. He's faithful in all He does. That means no matter what, whatever God is doing, however He is responding, whatever you're experiencing, these are the starting points. The Lord is righteous in all His ways. Whatever He's doing, it's best. Whatever it is. He's faithful in all He does. He's never not being faithful. The question only becomes, is how do we approach Him? What will be our understanding? Will we allow our hearts to be the thing that define us, or will we allow God's Word to be the thing that calibrates us to reality? Now, this is something we all have to wrestle with, because who doesn't struggle? Who doesn't doubt? Who doesn't wonder? Who hasn't prayed and not gotten the answer they want? What do we do in that dissonance? We run back to the truth of who God is. God, you're always righteous. God, you're always faithful. And I don't understand. So what do? We're able to cultivate our experience of His grace by better understanding who He is. And as we pray, God continues to build that up in us. Now, Jesus, secondly here. So first, why do we pray? Because we need to breathe. We need air. So we commune with God. Secondly, Jesus doesn't just assume we will pray, but He also points out two different kinds of approaches we have in prayer. And pretty much every time you pray, you're leaning into one of these approaches. You're guilty. I mean, I'm guilty of doing either of these. You know, the one that He says not to do, I find myself doing it at times. And sometimes I find the approach that He says to pursue is difficult to pursue. But He tells us these two different approaches. Tim Keller calls it the pagan way and the Christian way, because pagan is mentioned here in this text, and then there's this way that Jesus outlines for us. And so let's look at those two approaches. This is chapter 6, verse 5. I'm going to read this again just to kind of refresh. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corner to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And so this first approach, the not way to pray that Jesus mentions here. In this approach, the intention of the prayer is really to get God to do what I think I need Him to do. Here, Jesus talks about both those on the corners at the synagogue, so He's talking about religious people, but He also talks about this pagan way of praying, like babbling, because back, especially in the first century, in these mystery cults, the idea was, is that if you said the same thing to God over and 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 over, eventually He would be so irritated by it that He would say, fine, anything to get you to stop. And Jesus says, that's not who God is. That's not who the Father is. So Jesus first here addresses both this religious type of prayer that is done for showiness, or to impress people. Like, a lot of people don't like to pray in public anyway. But maybe you've been around where you've heard a prayer and you're like, wow, that was a really beautiful prayer. And Jesus says if you're praying in public for the sake of being recognized, you're going to get a reward, and you're going to get it in full. People are impressed. That's the reward. That's it. That's the whole reward. And so this not way to pray, the intention is to get what you want according to your terms and your limitations and only your imagination. With this kind of prayer, as Jesus says here, it's a babbling kind of thing. It's just a repetitive thing over and over again to convince God as if that's what's going to make Him respond. Jesus immediately counters that and says, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. It's not about that. Secondly, this other approach, the Christian approach. Jesus says, when you pray, I want you to be close to me. And look at the imagery that He gives. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In this moment, Jesus is inviting us not to do something to impress other people. He's inviting us not to approach God as if we have to convince Him to be kind to us. No, He says, look, in the secret place. Maybe it's in your mind when you're driving. Or maybe it is when you're in your own bedroom at night by yourself. Or maybe it's in the midst of a deep struggle or sadness or whatever. In that moment, when you approach your Father who is unseen, He will see you and He will give you your reward. He will be gracious. He will be compassionate. He will be slow to anger. He will be abounding in love. He'll respond, as we read in Psalm 145, in always righteous ways, always being faithful. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry, and He saves them. Do you see the results of prayer from both of those responses? On the first one that Jesus speaks of, those who pray on the corners just to impress people, the hypocrites who say they're praying to God, but really what they're doing is just trying to impress the people around them, as well as to the pagans who would babble and just try to convince God to do what they wanted. He's like, that the reward is only there. But in this other approach, where you approach God in the secret places of your heart, when you pray to Him about whatever it is that's great in your life, giving Him thanks, or whatever it is that's a deep struggle and it's bringing a lot of heartache, He hears you and He gives you the reward. And what's the reward? Knowing that He already knows what you're going to ask before you ask. Knowing that if you'll call on Him, He will draw near. And so His righteousness and His faithfulness are going to respond to you. But that's going to be the great reward, the certainty of His love and His presence. And so approach one says this: I need to pray, and so I'll beg. Approach two: I need to pray so I will remember my Father's heart. He's always righteous. He's always faithful. Approach one: I don't have what I need, so I'm going to try to strong arm to get what I want. Maybe I'll make a deal with God. I'll barter. I'll manipulate. Approach two says, I don't have what I need, so I will remember that even though whatever it is I'm dealing with is big, His grace is bigger still. Approach one: the only way God will respond to me is if I do something to earn it or demand it. Jesus says no. The only way God will respond to me is if Jesus is my Savior and my Lord and my King. Approach one: I can only get what I can control. Approach two: I only need my Father and all He has for me. He already knows what I need before I ask. I'm going to entrust myself to Him. What's your approach to God? Are you close with Him? Christ gives us access to the Father. Personal access to His mercies and His grace. He says, your Father already knows what you need. You don't have to try to impress Him. You don't have to try to convince Him. You don't have to wonder how He responds. No, He is the Father who is what? Always righteous and always faithful. The one who draws near to us when we call on His name, when we call on Him in truth, and the one who desires to hear the cries of His people. That's who He is. Now, what does it mean to say that God knows what we need and that He has a reward for us? Ask Him. But He gives us a lot of revelation in the Scriptures about what He has for us. Forgiveness, mercy, kindness, the certainty of His presence, the assurance that we can always approach Him, a promise that He goes before us as our shield and the one who protects us. And so the question comes back to us and we say, am I close to God? Well, if your trust is in Jesus, you are close to God. But am I availing myself to this means of grace, to this way of cultivating relationship with the Father through prayer? Now, I'm going to tell you a couple stories and give you a couple applications, things to think about this week. Because there are times where, when we talk about prayer, there are times where God answers prayers and they're miraculous, right? There are times, you know, for something to be miraculous that we pray for, it's not owed to us. We just see it as a kindness of God. You know, when you get your paycheck at the end of the month, and it actually goes into your bank account, you don't look up to the heavens and say, it's a miracle. You earned it. It's yours. But there are some times where we go to God and He answers our prayers and it's miraculous. And so I'm going to tell you a couple stories. One is this. You ever heard of Hudson Taylor? He was a missionary, the founder of China Inland Mission. Taylor once faced a near shipwreck on his way to China. The wind had died. The boat was drifting toward the reef and it did not look like it was going to go well. It looked like they were going to be shipwrecked. And as they drifted toward the coast of New Guinea, which, if you don't know much about that place, it was not a great place to be during Hudson Taylor's time. They were cannibals, so it was pretty tough. They didn't want to land there. The captain, desperate for Hudson Taylor to do something, he said, look, will you please pray to your God? And Hudson Taylor said, I'll pray, but you need to let the sails down. And so they let the sails down. Hudson Taylor goes beneath the ship. He begins to pray. And once they let the sails down, immediately wind came, rushed in, and delivered them from the shores. And they gave thanks to God for it. The scriptures say every good gift is from God, but this is more than coincidence. God heard his prayer, and he answered it. A second story, George Mueller in the 19th century. Do you know anything about him? He supported thousands of missionaries, thousands of orphanages across Bristol. He never asked for money. He would just pray, and the Lord would provide. And so there was an author who did a biography on George Mueller and told this story. And it just moves us to mystery and thanksgiving when we think about it. But what happened was is the children woke up one morning. Mueller was there. He knew that they did not have anything to eat. And he said, just go ahead and set the tables and let's pray. And just at that moment, someone knocked on the door. And this man said, hey, last night I own a bakery. I was moved to make a bunch of bread. And so do y'all need bread? I made something for all the children. And so he's like, yes, we've been praying for this. Thank you. He came in. They give out the bread. The children begin to eat. And then the children, of course, what? Thirsty. At that moment, someone knocks on the door, and the milkman says, hey, my cart broke down out front. This milk's going to go bad. I've got a bunch of milk. I saw it was an orphanage. Would y'all like to drink it? Like, just wonderful, wonderful stories of God's provision and his care. But what about appropriating that in our own lives? You know, those kinds of stories, we hear them, we think, that's incredible. But sometimes it feels more like this. Like this summer, I had a guy named Gabriel at my house. He's a friend of mine. He's like a son. He was visiting from Finland. And his son Noah asked me if he could go upstairs. I said, sure, Noah, let's go upstairs. Noah walks into my son William's room, and he goes, wow, can I have that? I go, Noah, no, you can't have that skateboard. I'm sorry. And he was disturbed, sad, turned around, and he goes, ooh, can I have that computer? No, Noah, you can't have the computer. You're 7 years old. What are you going to do with this computer? Discouraged, but still determined, he finally found something else as he was rummaging through William's drawers, and he pulls out a pocket knife. He goes, can I have this? I go, Noah, you cannot have that. And he finally asks the question that often we ask when we're praying to God. Why? Why can't I have this? I said, well, Noah, here's the deal. If I give you the knife, first of all, you're going to have to go tell William that I gave you his knife, and he's going to be upset with both of us. And then you're going to have to go tell your parents, and then they're going to wonder why I gave you William's knife because you're only 7 years old. And then you're going to have to make your way through Jamie, and you don't want to do that. And he's like, ah, okay. Sometimes we, and it was best for Noah not to have the knife, obviously. But sometimes we pray for things, and they're not the best thing to pray for. We don't know it, but God does. But there are also times we pray for things where in our minds we think the only right thing, God, is for you to do what I'm asking you to do. And it's okay to feel that way. But the greater thing for us is that God approaches us and says, look, no matter what happens, when you come to me and pray, I will always hear you. I will always draw near. I will always draw close. And also, I will always be righteous and I will always be faithful to you. Are you close to God? Are you availing yourself to the opportunity to a close relationship with him? Here's a couple of things for you to think about maybe this week if you're wondering, how can I pray or what should I use to help me pray? One is our bulletins. You can take them home. There's scriptures in here. There's a call to worship. There's a benediction to send you out on your day. We change them every week, and this can be a prayer guide for you. Secondly, in our app, our Church Center app, if you look in there, there's a place to sign up for the Dwell app. You can click on it. We're giving away subscriptions this year. Don't subscribe till you send me the notification, because once we put your name in there, you'll have it for free. But there's audio Bibles in there. There's different devotionals you can listen to if you're driving or you're on the bus on your way to school or whatever it is. And then, of course, the Psalms, like Psalm 145. And I'll close with this, that this would shape our understanding of who God is and how he approaches us whenever we approach him through Jesus. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. The Lord watches over all who love him. This week, as you go about your business, as you go about the things God's called you to, know that God is near to you and avail yourself to finding peace in the certainty of his presence. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are the God who responds to us. That because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, we can have the certainty that we can have assurance because of the gospel that you've given to us through him. Father, I would pray this week that your Holy Spirit would move us to long for intimacy with you, to long for closeness with you, and to not believe the lies that there's anything that can keep us from your presence, and in fact, that when we pray to you, you give us our reward, which is you. The reward of knowing that you will be faithful. The reward of knowing that whatever answer you give, it will be righteous. That, Lord, as we come to you, we discover that you're already with us and that you're going before us. Would you encourage us with these things? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.